Well, on your handout, you'll see a scripture right there at the top. It's Philippians chapter 4, and it's the beginning of verse 1. And the Apostle Paul long ago wrote a letter to a church that is in the city of Philippi. And actually, we could get on airplanes today and we could fly to the city of Philippi. It's a real city where real people have lived for a long, long time. And there was a church there a couple thousand years ago. And the Apostle Paul was a great man of God who wrote letters to the churches encouraging them to grow in their faith and to come to understanding of what it looked like to be God's people together in churches in different cities. And so one of those cities, kids, was called, who remembers? Philippi. And so we have the book of Philippians, and it's a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to that church. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, he says this, "My brothers and sisters, in this way, stay strong in the Lord." Everybody say, stay strong.
Stay strong.
Do we get the picture up there of the stronger? Come on. This is what it should look like right here, everybody. Stay strong. We want to grow strong. We want to grow to be stronger followers of Jesus. But if you notice what he says in Philippians 4:1, he says this. He says, in this way. Everybody say, in this way. Stay strong in the Lord. Okay, so what does he mean in this way? Well, what we're going to do is we are going to go to the end of Philippians chapter 3. And what we discover is that the Apostle Paul had just told them three things that they need to do to stay strong and grow stronger in the Lord. And then he wraps up by saying, in this way, stay strong. So we're going to back up and we're going to go to Philippians 3, starting in verse 17. And we're going to read just the little bit of verses that are there at the end of Philippians chapter 3 so we can learn together how to stay strong. And this is what he wrote. He said, "Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example." And then he goes on in verse 18 and says, "For I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes." The Apostle Paul was writing this letter, but literally he starts like choking up. He starts crying as he's writing this letter, thinking about what he's writing. And he says, I've told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows they are really enemies of the cross. What does conduct mean? Conduct is our actions. It's our behavior. It's the choices that we make. And he said, there are many whose behavior, their choices show that they're really enemies of the cross of Christ. They are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about shameful things. And they think only about life here on earth. And he goes on and he finishes with this. Verse 20, he says, "But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. And we are eagerly waiting." Would you say that? Would you say eagerly waiting? "For him," Jesus, "to return as our Savior. He will take our weak, mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control." And then the very next verse is Philippians 4:1, where he says, "My brothers and sisters, in this way, stay strong in the Lord. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at those little handful of verses from the end of Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to see these three things that he told the church in Philippi how to stay strong and how to grow stronger. Number one, are you ready? The first thing he told them to do was to stick together. Stick together was the first thing that he told them. Stick together. This is what he said in Philippians 3:17. He said this, "Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example." Well, guess what? The only way that you could learn from the Apostle Paul was to stick together with him. The only way that you can learn, I want all the kids really quick to look up at me. The only way that you can learn from your parents and get all of their experiences and learn what they know is to stick with them, to hang out with them, to do stuff together with them. That's how God has meant families to operate together, is to hang out together, to stick together so we can learn from each other. And what the Apostle Paul was reminding them is that, hey, you need to stick together with me because I have learned some things I want to show you so that you can actually model your life after mine. How many of you kids have ever played on a sports team? Have you ever played soccer? Have you ever had track or football or softball or little league baseball, something like that? Anybody? 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 What do you have as a team that is the one to help show you what to do? What do you call that person? You call that person a coach. Now listen, if you were on a sports team and you said, "I'm not going to listen to my coach. I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. I'm on a soccer team, but I'm just going to run around wherever I want to run around. I heard something about them wanting to be the goalie. I don't really want to stand in front of that little net. I want to run around and do whatever I want to do. I want to try to kick goals on the other to the opposing goalie. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be stuck there." Guess what? The team would unravel. It would fall apart because why? We have to listen to our coach, because guess what? The coach knows more than we do. The coach knows more than we know. And so we have to stick together as a team and stick with that coach, because God will put people in our lives that are going to help us learn. Not just in soccer and not just in baseball. Guess what? We need people in our lives that will stick close to us to help us grow. And not just the Apostle Paul, he wasn't being egotistical like, "Hey, it's all about me, you just have to follow me." He says, "And learn from those who follow our example." So people who have learned to follow after Jesus, we're to stick together with them. Just after Philippians 4:1, right after Paul says, "This is how you stay strong together." Guess what we get? We get an example of trouble and problems that people can get into even when they're trying to stick together. Because listen to what it says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Right after he says, "Stay strong together," we read this. "Now I appeal," Paul writes, "to two ladies, Euodia and Syntyche." We'll just call them Euodia and Syntyche, okay? Euodia and Syntyche had a problem. Because he says, "Now I appeal to Euodia and Syntyche, please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement." Oh, he's writing to two ladies in the church and they have a disagreement with each other. But listen to what he says. He says, "And I ask you, my true partner, to help these two women, for they worked hard with me in telling others the good news." Euodia and Syntyche, these were like women of God. They actually knew God and were even helped the Apostle Paul to bring the good news to others. But guess what? Even though they were part of the church, they had disagreement. Have you ever had a disagreement with somebody in your family? In your family, have you ever had a disagreement? You know what, you guys? What we discover is that relationships and sticking together is actually pretty challenging. It's pretty difficult. It is in a family, and you know what? It is in a church family as well. It can be challenging. There can be struggles. We might have disagreements. You might like the Astros. Oh. We might have a disagreement with one another. And you know what? It is hard to be in a family, and it can be very challenging to be part of a church family. In fact, I've met people who have said things like, you know what? I really love God. I even believe in Jesus, but I do not ever want to be part of a church. I've heard people tell me that. That I know God and I love Jesus, but I really don't have room in my life for this church thing. And you know what? I think a lot of times it's because people, number one, have had disagreements. There's been conflicts. There's been struggles, even within a church. But guess what? Instead of sticking together, they found that it was too challenging, that it was too difficult, and they decided, you know what? Forget them. I'm just going to go do my own thing. I can worship God in my own way. But I want to tell you kids something. I want to tell you family something. And I believe that what God's word tells us, every place we look in God's word, is that we are to stick together. The word is stick together as a church. Now, some of you are going to grow up and you're going to move away and you're going to have opportunities to find other churches. That's awesome. In fact, I believe that some of the kids in this room are going to start churches someday. Would that be incredible? And we would love to help them do that. But I believe that every place that we look in Scripture, we are told to stick together. We are told to be united. And even when we are struggling, that we are to help each other. And guess what? That's why I love what Paul wrote. He said, ladies, there's a challenge here. You have a disagreement. But he doesn't stop there. He says, this is what he says. He says, but I'm calling for you, my true partner. And it doesn't say who that is, but it was somebody in the church who was a leader. Maybe it was Lori Crane. There's Lori right there. Lori is awesome at helping women who are struggling with things. Love you, Lori. But listen, I don't know who he was appealing to there, but he says, my true partner. He says, would you help these two women? Help them get through this disagreement. Why? Because we need each other. We need the Lori Cranes and the Rich Cranes, by the way. We need men and women of God to come alongside those who are struggling. Listen, I was thinking about just in my own past 2 weeks, getting to partner with Angela during one of the most difficult and challenging seasons of life, but also getting to pray together at Mark's passing, and getting to gather family right here in this room and lift up the name of Jesus and love on each other and see something beautiful happen within a family. Also got to go and hang out with Ronnie and Marcella when their baby Corrine was born, and got to go hold this little baby and love on this little baby. And you know what? As a church family, we get to be there for each other during some of the most challenging and painful times and some of the most meaningful and beautiful times. There's also been people that I've met with just this week who are struggling financially, who are going through real crisis and trying to figure out next steps. And you know what? I love that we have a generous church family who allows us to come alongside and help those who are in need. You know why? Because we have learned that to be strong, we stick together. We stick together. We don't fall apart, and we don't try to go it alone. God's word tells us, stick together. That's how we learn from each other. That's how we can learn to follow the example of those who have learned more or gone farther than we have. It's like having coaches, right? Stick together. Stick together to stay strong, to grow strong. I love what Ecclesiastes 4:12 tells us. It says this, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. And you picture those two people with swords drawn back to back, no matter which way the enemy is coming, man, they're going for it and they can conquer. But then it says this, three are even better. For a three-strand cord is not easily broken. And it's kind of like that braided rope that has strength that is not going to easily snap. And church family, that is a picture of what God has called us to be. We're intergenerational. We're two genders. We're not just all men, we're not just all women, we're a church that is blended in generation, in gender, and I even love that we are one church with two congregations, in English and in Espanol. Because guess what? When we are braided together as a church family, we get to stand strong, to serve our city well, and to not snap under pressure. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hey, here's the second thing that the Apostle Paul said. He didn't just say to stick together. He said this. He said, watch out. We need to stick together. And number two, we need to watch out. Here's what he said in verses 18 and 19 of Philippians chapter 3. He said, for I have told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose, everybody say, what does that say? Whose conduct shows that they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. Wow. We, by people's choices, their actions, they really show they're not friends of Jesus. They're actually working against the purposes and plans of God. We need to watch out because there are people who are enemies of Jesus. And it goes on and says they are headed, very unfortunately, they are headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. And what does it say here? They do what? They brag about shameful things. And they think only about this life here on earth. Meaning, all they think about is like what's happening right here at this moment. I want to feel good right now, so I'm going to do whatever I want to do in order to make myself feel better. It says that they're all caught up with their appetite. In fact, they've made their appetite their God. And he's not just talking about food in our belly, but it's an appetite for things that are other than God. Some people have an appetite for clothing. Some people have an appetite for golf. Oh, Jerry, did you really just say that? Hey. Yeah, some people make sports their God. They have an appetite for more and more just entertainment. Some people have an appetite for things that are impure. Sometimes people have an appetite for alcohol or for drugs, and they just want more. They've grown this appetite that is for things other than God. But you know what? It will never fill them those things, when we chase after them and make them our God, guess what? It says right here that those people who do those things, says, are headed for destruction. I believe that one of the reasons the Apostle Paul says, I write with tears in my eyes, is because it's not that he's like afraid that, hey, you're going to get beat up by one of these people. He's crying over the fact that there are people that are headed to an eternal destruction. They're headed away from God, and they don't realize that when they make other things their God, that they are going to suffer the consequences of it. They're going to pay a really, really terrible price if they don't put Jesus as their number one and follow after him. Listen, it's easy when we see people doing things that are wrong. And he says, you know, their conduct shows that they're enemies of the cross. But you know what? He says this other thing, and I just want to talk about it for a couple of moments. It says that they brag about shameful things. And so we can tell someone who is headed for destruction, and I want all the kids to like look right here and listen really closely. It's not that we can look with our eyes and see people that are headed for destruction, but we can listen to what they say. They brag about shameful things. When I was 12 years old, my family moved far, far away. I grew up in Southern California, but for one whole year, my family moved across the ocean to this pretty small island nation called New Zealand. And I had a great experience there. It was beautiful. The whole nation of New Zealand is two main islands, North and South Island, and together they're about the same size as California. So I moved from this big country to this small country for this whole year. Moved there when I was 12, celebrated my 13th birthday there. But they have a different kind of school there. I went to an all-boys school. And I moved there in January and actually stayed there the whole year through December. And that's how their school year goes. January, they don't start their school year in September or August. They start it in January. And so I got to be there for all of what they call third form. They don't have grades. They have forms. And so I was in third form at Marlboro Boys College. So I was there with hundreds and hundreds of other guys. And I had to wear little black shorts and his long sleeve gray shirt. And it was kind of weird, okay? But you know what? That's what everybody there was doing. So it kind of fit in after a little while. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something about myself. When I was growing up, when I was your age, I loved Jesus. And I grew up in a home where my parents loved Jesus and my brother and sister loved Jesus. And like, hey, that's just kind of who we were. We loved God. But when I got over there, I was confronted with some different things that I wasn't really used to. And one of the things is that the kids in my class, the boys in my class, a lot of them swore. A lot of them used bad language, and I didn't. In fact, I can remember, to the best of my knowledge, that up until that time of my life, I had never said a bad word. What? How is that even possible? I mean, I'd probably said some pretty ugly, terrible things, but I'd never used like a cuss word. I'd never said a swear word. I went off to Marlboro Boys College, and I'm hanging out with these guys, and I'm telling you, these guys caught on to the fact that I didn't swear. They noticed. They noticed my language was different than theirs. They noticed, and you know what they started to do after a while? They would try to do stuff to me to get me to swear. They would pick on me or do things, chase me around to see if they could get me to swear. And you know what? I made it through that year. I didn't swear. There was something like, I was just God's grace on my life. But you know what? I remember coming home. And shortly after that, I remember being out at the park back in California with my friends playing football and got hit really hard. And I remember the very first time like a bad word, like a cuss word came out of my mouth. I was about 13 years old. And you know what? It's sad that I remember that. But I remember that time very clearly because it's like I knew the kind of words that were to come out of my mouth. And when it says here that people that are headed for their destruction, enemies of the cross, says they brag about shameful things, I've noticed something here in our city. I've noticed listening to conversations of kids. We live right across the street from an elementary school where our home is. And so I hear kids behind our house, and I hear kids, you know, hanging out and on the street. And I've noticed that there's a lot of bad language that gets used. A lot of bad language. And I want to tell you guys something. What we speak really matters. What we say, the words that come out of our mouth, it's not just the conduct of our lives, our choices, our behaviors about what we do, right? Even the words that we speak really matter. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 12:34. He said this. He said, "For whatever is in your heart determines what you say." So when we use bad words, guess what Jesus is saying? That kind of ugliness is inside of us. It's in our heart. And so because it's in here, it comes out of our mouths. And this is what the Apostle Paul wrote to another church in Ephesians 4:29. He says, don't use foul or abusive language. So that would be like, that's like all the bad words, all the cuss words, all the swear words, right? He says, don't use those words, but also don't use abusive language. Like, don't use your words to hurt other people. Don't use your words to kind of bring pain to someone else or make yourself look really good by tearing someone else down, bullying someone else, making them feel bad. It says this, let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Listen, here's what we're told in Philippians chapter 3 of how to stay strong. Watch out. Watch out. Watch out for, because there are people who are enemies of the cross. They're headed for destruction. And we know that by what we can see what they do and we can hear what they say. And I want to challenge our kids to watch what comes out of your mouth. Because it's a reflection, Jesus said, of what's in your heart. But moms and dads, I want to encourage you to watch out for the words that are spoken in your home. I want all of us to pay attention to the kind of words that we choose to use. Nothing foul, nothing abusive would come from our mouths, but only those things that, like we just read, that will be good and helpful, words that will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Church family, we need to watch out. And we need to listen not only to those who might be headed for destruction, but for our own destruction. Because we're either headed kind of on a path of destruction or we're headed on this other path, learning how to stay strong. Here's what I've discovered, though. When we do slip up, we have a good God who will forgive us. And when we say something that we know that we shouldn't have, and we say, you know what, that was something in my heart that was not right, that leaked out of my mouth, we can take that immediately to Jesus and say, Jesus, would you forgive me? And his promise is he will always forgive us. But sometimes we also need to go not just to Jesus to say we're sorry. We need to go to the person that we used bad language to or toward. And we need to ask them for their forgiveness as well. Are you with me? I want to pray for our kids that they would have the spirit of a 12-year-old Tim Mosholder. Where they would be people who, they get to be known as kids who do not swear. They're different. There's something different in their spirit. And here we come to the third point, and we wrap up with this. Because I believe this is really important of why we stick together and why we even watch out for those headed for destruction. Because number three, we need to remember who we are. Remember who we are. We need to have a Rafiki moment. Simba! Remember who you are. You're the son of Mufasa. And those of you that have seen Lion King or the movie or the production and play, you know, it's a beautiful little part there because there is this remembrance that is so important that you're not just a lone individual. You are part of a tribe. You are part of God's family. And this is what he says in Philippians 3, 20 and 21. He says, but we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly awaiting for him to return as our Savior. When I was about 15 years old, my parents went out of town. Now, I wasn't there all by myself. There was some other adults who were hanging out in our home, but I had a lot of freedom and flexibility, and my friends said they were going to a movie. And I was like, hey, that's awesome. I want to go to a movie. Can I go with you guys? Sure. Well, what movie are you going to? Oh, you're going to that movie. And it was a movie that I knew my parents would not let me go to see. But were my parents there? No, they were not. And guess what I did? I made a bad decision. And I went with my buddies to go see a movie that I should not have seen. And so I got home from that movie. And somehow, word got out. Because the phone rang. And it was my father. And it was my father saying, hey, where you been? What you been doing? And I told him. He already knew. Somehow, he already knew. Number one, my dad grounded me. I was grounded, I think, until they got home from their trip. That was no fun. But you know what more importantly he did? He reminded me who I was. Tim, you are a Mosholder. And frankly, I don't care what your friends do because you are not part of their family. You are part of our family. And our family has some boundaries. We have some rules. We have some things that we abide by. And someday you'll get to have your own family and make your own rules. But you're part of this family because you are a Mosholder. That's a weird name, isn't it? Mosholder. Mosholder, like holding moss. But you know what? It's kind of cool because it's kind of different. It's a constant reminder to me that I'm a little different. I wish I could just be a Lopez. A Paz. Maybe a Perales. A Torres. Hey, there are millions of names that so many people have, right? but I have a name that's different. We're probably the only moss holder family in Santa Maria. You know what I mean? Remember who you are. See, when we forget who we are, it is easy for us to slip into things where we say, you know what? I don't think I have to stick together. I can go do my own thing. I don't need to be part of a church family. I can go love God out in nature, all by myself, under the trees, and it'll be okay. Hey, I think you can love God under the trees. I think that's okay. But you know what? You still need to be part of a church family because God calls us to stick together. Not only do you need to grow from other people, but other people may need you to help them when they hit hard times. We need to stick together, but we can forget that if we don't remember who we are. And it's really easy to forget how we are to live. And instead of watching out for those who are headed for destruction, we fall in with those who are headed to destruction. We need to remember who we are. I want to finish with this scripture. Peter wrote this, and he said in 1 Peter 2:9, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light." Now, I am so thankful that we can remember who we are. Kids that are here this morning, you have been chosen by God to be his special man, his special woman. He even calls you royalty. He's the king, so guess what? You get to be the prince, the princess within his kingdom. And when you remember who you are, God's special chosen person, man, it makes it so much easier to not fall into those who are headed the wrong direction, headed towards destruction. But you know what? I want to be someone who, like Peter said, will declare the praises of Jesus who called me into his light. That's who I want to be. I want to be someone who stands strong and who keeps growing stronger every day of my life. And we can do that as we stick together, right? As we watch out, be careful, knowing that there are some headed towards destruction. And that we would also remember who we are. And we are eagerly waiting for Jesus' return. Eagerly waiting.